In the presidential campaign in 1960, Senator Robert Kerr asked you to get some publicity among the Yale students.
Yes, Senator Kerr called me. Senator Kerr, it always helped me get my summer jobs. He had a great influence on my life because he just sort of took me under his wing and he helped me in different ways and get me jobs in the summertime when I was in college. So he said, well, you know, we need to get a lot of publicity. He said, I want you to get in some of the national press. I want you to start a Yale chapter for Lyndon Johnson. And I said, Senator Kerr, everybody up here is for Kennedy and Ivy League in New England, you know, and I don't know what I'll do, but I'll try. So I found a few students from Texas and Oklahoma. We formed a chapter of Yale for Johnson. We put up posters and we made a lot of noise. We managed to attract the attention of a fellow who was a stringer for Time magazine. So he wrote a big article in Time that in a surprising move, there's a big Johnson movement in an Ivy League school. Senator Kerr was thrilled to death. He said, I told you you could get it done. You've gotten this publicity in Time about Yale for Johnson. We had about 20 members probably, and that's all. But he was very pleased about it. And then later on, because I sort of become known then as a Johnson person from the Kennedy country. Well, Kennedy, of course, won the election. Johnson, vice president. So when I called to get my summer job back that I'd had in the building next to the White House the summer before, the fellow said, I'm sorry, but we're only taking Kennedy people. Mm. So I called Senator Kerr, and he said, they told you what? And I told him, and he said, where's your phone number? You sit right there by the phone. Don't you move. Within 15 minutes, the guy who told me I didn't have the job back called me and said, well, we made a mistake. Yes, we'd love to have you back again. So Senator Kerr intervened in my behalf several times. And when I was like 9 years old, I was his page at the convention when he ran for president. And I guess that was in 1952. I was sitting with him when he heard the roll call. He only got about 25 votes or something like that and folded up the campaign. I was around him a lot. Sometime when I was with him, he would say, now, let me tell you, here's how you do politics. And I remember one time he said, I'm getting a county chairman from LaFleur County. And the funny guy got him on the phone and they exchanged greetings. And he said, how are you coming on that appreciation dinner for me down there? And the guy was saying, well, we're kind of making progress. He said, I'll supply all the beef. You supply the appreciation. So he supplied all the money to pay for it and all the food and everything else. And he said, David, you just have to have your own appreciation events or otherwise they might forget about you. So I dusted some of those off. When I ran for the Senate after I'd been governor, all the counties where I'd done something, built a bridge or fixed the road or done something for the school or whatever, I'd have big ads like, such and such a county has not forgotten that David Boren did this for the county. You know, I'd remind him of all the things I did. So we appreciate him. And of course, I paid for the ad. And I always thought, God bless Senator Kerr for teaching me how to do it. And he did.
It didn't hurt to have the most powerful senator in the United States at that time on your side.
He was. He was definitely the most powerful senator in the United States. So that's how I got my job back and other things.
If he walked in this room, is he a gregarious guy?
Very outgoing. Yeah. And he always wore bright red suspenders, great big wide bright red suspenders. He was a really colorful, brilliant person. He had a first-rate mind. He didn't get where he got without being a very smart man. He was very gregarious.
He and Kennedy were friends?
They were friends. Kerr was so gregarious and outgoing that he sort of hit his competitive streak, but he also is very competitive. He always wanted to win. There's a story that after he got quite wealthy and they had Kerr McGee Oil Company and so on, Senator Kerr had his own plane. He liked to play gin rummy with people that were with him flying on the plane, and he'd have them circle until he got ahead. He'd never let them land until he got ahead in the game. He was a very competitive man. Very nice man, certainly to me.
You had the House Speaker, Carl Elbert, from
yes.
Little Dixie, on your side. I mean,
yes.
He urged you to run for Congress. His lineup of people that you had, obviously they saw something very special in you.
I
they
don't
didn't
know.
Do it just because, but you had him too, Carl Elbert.
I did, and he just was a wonderful friend. It was like Mr. Rayburn. He would always spend time with me alone if I went out to his office. He would always talk to me about what I was working on. But I learned pretty early on that he liked to work in his office on Sunday afternoons. So when I was home from college and so on, I would go out on Sunday afternoons. I'm sure he was overjoyed to see me soon. He was trying to catch up on his work that I would come by to want to say hello to him on a Sunday afternoon. But I knew I could catch him if I did that. He had a great administrative assistant, Charlie Ward, who ended up living in Tulsa in his last years. Charlie had been his administrative assistant for years and years. Very often the two of them would be there, and they would both talk to me. And I was Carl's campaign manager. They redistricted him into my county and my legislative district after I got in the legislature, became part of his district. I was his campaign manager in his eight new counties, and I used to drive him around all the time. He was wonderful, too. We would go to these schools, little tiny schools, on gravel roads, not even on paved roads. And, of course, he had gone to a school like that, Bug Tussle, and he would say to me, okay, we're going into this school and we'll have questions and answers. I want you to pick out which kids you think is promising to be a future leader or future public official. We would do that from town to town, school to school. A lot of just wonderful experiences with him. He said, I want you to promise to run to succeed me someday. And that was always my plan, but it never worked out at the right time. Of course, I was never going to run against Carl Albert, my goodness. I got so mad I ran for governor. That's really what happened with what was going on. But Charlie Ward figured in my life very strongly, too, because when they both said to me, we want you to promise to run for Congress, I said, I'll only do it on one condition, and that is if Charlie Ward will come and be my administrative assistant. So he had retired. When I finally ran for the Senate, he had been retired 5 or 6 years. I called him up, and I said, Charlie, are you a man of your word? And he said, what do you mean? He got kind of angry on the phone. I said, well, you promised if I ever ran for Congress, if I ever got to Washington, you'd be my administrative assistant. So I said, so will you? So he did. He came out of retirement, and he was my administrative assistant for 6, 8 years.
Let me circle back twice. We should point out, you were talking about Senator Kerr and then McGee, that KRMG in Tulsa is Kerr McGee.
It is. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and Senator Kerr, when he wanted his radio station to be set up, he wanted a clear channel radio station covering everybody day and night. And they said, well, you can't have that because KBOO is clear channel.
Right.
So he said, well, then give me daytime full coverage. And then it was 25,000 at night. And then he said, but beam the signal to Oklahoma City so that everybody will hear my radio station.
Well, as I say, he always had a plan.